Good morning. That was an amazing testimony and story from Jess. I just want to make sure, like, God is at work, and sometimes he calls us to do things that are difficult, to step out of our comfort zones. I couldn't have set that up more to what I'm going to preach upon today. But I just want to encourage you, that is a great word for us to begin here this morning. So let's begin with just a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for worship here this morning. I thank you for the ways in which you move, Lord. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all that he's done, and Lord, that we couldn't do for ourselves. And Father, I thank you for Jess's testimony to step out in obedience, even when we're scared or have fears. And Lord, we just pray right now in these next few moments that your Holy Spirit, as it is already here, would fall fresh upon us and reveal your scripture to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here at Brighton Heights. We are Bridge City Church, one church at four locations, and it's a joy to have you here and with worship and be here together. We are currently in our sermon series called Good News. It's about the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Mark is an amazing it's kind of like they call it the Synoptic Gospels. It is the kind of like the focal point where Matthew and Luke take their sources from Mark because it was closer to the time of Jesus. And so it's a look at the life, the ministry, the character of who Jesus is. It looks at who God is and how he wants a relationship with us, that he wants a relationship that is vibrant and alive, and there's freedom and there's victory, that we don't have to walk around and just continue to go through the motions. I know that's not why you're here. You're here on an August Sunday. You could be anywhere, and you chose to be here. So I'm so thankful that you're here with us this morning. There's a quote that I love. There's a quote that I love by a pastor named Leonard Ravenhill. And he says this: a man with an experience of God, a man with an experience of God is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And I can say this, that when you think about your life and all that you've gone through and all how God has done and had his hand on your life and some of the experiences that some of you have had, you have an experience with God, don't you? That no matter what someone tries to argue with you or bring one in, you have an experience with God. You have a testimony. This is what God did for me. Your argument doesn't faze me. You know, and so I know that's the case for my life, is that when I'm going into the Christian faith, and I would start telling people, this is what Jesus did for me. This is what Jesus did in my heart. I got to be part of God's family, and I got to share my experience with God and my story with others. And no matter what people would try to say, I would stand firm on God's promises. And so my hope and prayer for you this morning is you think about your experiences with God, the storms that you have been through, the pain that you have endured, and the blessings that you have received and the favor that God has placed on your life. That is your experience, and that's what you need to share. And so Mark beautifully captures, the gospel writer Mark beautifully captures a couple scenes of Jesus's ministry that specifically kind of emphasizes who Jesus was and is and what he could do. Right, he was more than just a moral teacher. He was more than just a philosopher. He was more than some carpenter, right? But he was the Son of God. He was the one that could bring freedom. He was the one that could bring healing. He was the one that can bring freedom from this captive of sin that was in our lives. In the Acts, it was written by Luke, Dr. Luke, he says in Acts 10:38, it says this, speaking of who Jesus was and how he operated. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Nazareth being where he was from, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And for God was with him. And so we kind of get this snapshot of who Jesus was and what he was like and how he did it. And so you've had an experience with a Jesus who is the Holy Spirit, that he did things with power. He did things that were good. He did things that were healing. And he is God's son. And so we see this kind of glimpse for it. And so this was Peter's kind of a message that was given to Cornelius, who was a family, a person in the Bible, and his family. It was the first gospel recorded, first gospel presentation to a non-Jewish people. And so we see this as that he's trying to establish who Jesus was. And I wonder this morning, who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he your Lord and Savior, or is he some historical figure? Is he the one that is with you by the storm, or is he one that is distant? And so that's what we're trying to look at today. That's where we're going to go. We're going to look who Jesus was and what he was like, right? And so we see that in our lives, again, that there is this person called the devil. I'm not one that like overemphasizes the devil, right? And I'm not one that kind of denies it either. I'm kind of like in between there, right? I don't think the devil's around every corner. You know, I don't think he's like non-existent. There's somewhere in the middle that we're called to be. So make sure you're with me on that. But it's a perfect depiction of how Jesus operated and why he did this. And so he came as sin was a foothold and sin entered the human condition. And it was what we're feeling and experiencing. Jesus came to give us victory over sin. Jesus came to take away that foothold that the devil has in our lives. And so for all human history, prior to Jesus, people lived under the oppression of the rule of Satan. People lived in this kind of like, kind of shackled to sin and what they were doing. And so Jesus, the good news is no matter where you are, Jesus came to set you free from those oppression of the evil one. And we do have an evil one that is kind of taking us out. And so the good news is this, is that Jesus came to set the captives free. That's the good news, right? It's an image, again, of being shackled to this kind of this sin in our lives, whatever that may be. But Jesus came to set us free, that we're not defined by that. We don't have to stay there, that we can move forward in our faith because of the great love of Jesus. He came to set the captives free. That's what we were before Christ. After Christ, we're set free. There's freedom in that. There's freedom now. And so amen. And so when this at one point we were slaves to sin, Jesus sets us free and we walk in freedom. We walk in freedom. And so Jesus, what is he like? He's going to fight to keep you from being held against the enemy of our soul, to live in freedom. And that's who Jesus is. That's what he's like. He goes to the very depths of hell to free us, right? He went to the cross to free us as we took communion here this morning. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus is like. That's what his relationship he wants with you, who goes to the very lengths to set us free. And so he has this immeasurable power that because he is the Son of God, that he goes to set us free, and the lengths he goes to. He demonstrates that over and over again. But here's the tension. Here's the problem that we face as believers, as people walking day to day. And Jess mentioned it. Sometimes you do things and it's like, it's just terrible. It's like, this is tough. But the tension that I think that we struggle to understand, that what Christ offers us is that freedom. He comes to set us free from sin. We don't really believe that. We don't live like he did that, right? We have trouble at times seeing that he sets us free, that we say that we're free, but we're still shackled to the sin or whatever that is in our lives. At times we refuse to stop taking that step toward Jesus and those that are hurting. We just kind of hold back. That's why I love Jess's testimony, that she did take that step toward those who are hurting. And some of you have done that in your lives, but that's what we're called to do as believers. As we follow Jesus, we're called to help and go to those that are hurting, to tell them and share our story about what Jesus can do in our lives. We struggle with that. We live in our fears more than our faith. That's a tension we struggle with in this passage. And we do not realize that our story has power. Our story is what God has put his hand upon our lives and his favor upon our lives, that we should tell our story, not keep it locked up. Some of you have tremendous testimony. Some of you have walked with Jesus your entire life. No matter where you are on the spectrum of things, that God wants you to use that story and share with it. But the tension is, sometimes we just don't want to share. Sometimes we just want to stay in our lane, keep our head down, and keep going. But the good news for us this morning is Jesus has come to set us free. Amen. So if you have your Bibles or in a device, turn to Mark chapter 4. It'll be on the screen behind me. We're going to look at that last part of Mark chapter 4 going into the first part of Mark chapter 5. I love these passages because I actually have been there in Israel. I got to walk in these footsteps. I got to be on the Sea of Galilee. So anytime I read these passages, I'm like, I can think about where I was in my mind. But they're amazing stories about who Jesus is and what he came to do. So it says this, starting in verse 35 of Mark 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake," or the Sea of Galilee. So they took Jesus in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. And Jesus, this is where he was. Storms are happening. Waves are crashing into the boat. Verse 38, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. What a demonstration of how to handle the storms. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Have you ever felt like that? Jesus, where are you in my life? Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Or you of little faith? Or where is your faith?" In other passages. And so we have this passage where Jesus was in the midst of his disciples. He was with them. They encountered a storm, and Jesus is in the back of the boat, chilling and sleeping and relaxing. The other disciples are given into fear and panic. Now, be honest. If you were caught in a storm, that's kind of the natural response, is it? Is fear and panic. God, where are you? So that's the normal response. And so what I like here, and there's a lot to unpack in this passage, but we see that they were on one side and they went to the other side of the lake. And so where they were was, they were in one side of the territory, where it was commerce and houses and synagogues. And then they went to the other side of the lake, that was believed to be an area where it was Gentiles. That's the best way to say it. It was a Gentile area where they lived. And so they went over there and they went on to this other side of the lake. And so Jesus, it said, left the crowd behind. Often when he would do ministry, they would just try to go to him and chat him up and ask him for things. And so he was just exhausted. When you're serving Jesus, you can get exhausted. How many can agree with me on that? Are you with me? Okay. So they left the crowd behind. Jesus got in the boat, and they went to the other side of the lake. And so Jesus was willing to depart from the crowds. He was willing to leave them and go to the other side of the lake. And so not only that, he was willing to venture into a territory and a people that might be considered outreach or outsiders or unworthy or taboo. He was willing to leave where he grew up. He was willing to leave where he was familiar and comfortable with to go to the other side, to go to a people that were considered taboo. Do you see where I'm going with this? That Jesus was willing to go to places where sometimes we're not. Jesus demonstrated to his disciples, sometimes we have to go to places outside of our comfort zone. Like Jess said, sometimes we got to go when we're afraid, and that's called courage. Sometimes we have to take that step of faith and say, okay, God, use me. I don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to use me, but I'm going to take that step of faith. And there's hope in that, right? There's hope that Jesus is demonstrating that when we step out in faith and we do it when we're afraid, we have courage, that there's this hope that he's going to do mighty things with an expectation. I love that. And so he went to the other side of the lake. He left the crowd behind to go to a people that most of the people wouldn't be willing to go. Jesus is willing to go to the dirty places. He's willing to go to the dark places and the stanky places, right, to reach people who need him. Are we willing to do that in our own lives? To go to the places that are kind of like weird and kind of go to the place. I never thought I'd go to Liberia, Africa, West Africa. I never thought when I became a Christian at a summer camp I never thought I was going to be a pastor. That's point one. Point two, I never thought I'd go to Africa or these other places, Haiti and Dominican Republic and Mexico and Israel, right? Never thought God would use me. But when I stepped out, that's what I signed up for. Is God wanted me to go. I have to be willing to do that. Church, are you willing to go to the other places? Are you willing to go to the other side of the lake? Are you going to go to those places that might be uncomfortable? That's thing. It's hard for us. That's a tension that we feel in that. And then it says this, as they were going, as they were following and being obedient with Jesus, what happened? A storm popped up. A storm popped up. How was your week just this week? Did you have any storms happen? Did you have something that was just out of the, like you just thought it was going to be a normal week and then boom, something happens, right? It could be a physical thing, a spiritual thing, an emotional thing, but all of a sudden storms can happen out of nowhere. And how do we respond to that? And so Jesus demonstrates that when the storms happen in our lives, we're supposed to respond in faith, he says. He was laying down, knocked out, sleeping in a boat. That's how I want to respond to the situations in my life. My wife, Melanie, would say, me too, right? But here's the thing, we don't. We give in to fear. We let the storms kind of overtake us. And I don't know where you are this morning. Jesus wants you to be with him and know that he's with you in the boat, in your life, in the face of everything that you're facing, in the storms that you're facing, in the difficulties that you're facing, Jesus is in your boat. He's in your boat. He's not going to leave you or forsake you or let you drown or let you go under. He is with you. And it's a test of our faith. And that is the tension too. That's hard for us to deal with sometimes. Why am I going through this? There's people here, even last week, that went through tremendous things. All they were doing is just trying to get to church, and they discovered something happened outside their house. Like, they're just not expecting that. And so what I love about it is that they're stepping out in faith. They're here today, right? I love that. They could have just packed it up and said, I give up. Why did you let that happen, God? But they're here. They're here because they know Jesus is with them in the storm. He was sleeping in the boat. He modeled what we should be and how we should be and our attitude of the heart when we're going through storms. He wants us to respond in faith in the face of any storm that we're going through right now. Are you willing to let those things that are raging around you control you? Or are you ready to let Jesus just help you in the midst of that storm? Eventually, it's going to die out. Because here's the thing. He has the power and the authority over the difficulties in your life, just like he had the power and authority over the elements of nature. He said, stop, be calm. And they listened. Even they listened to Jesus' his authority in their lives. So it wasn't just a demonstration, right, that he silences the winds and the rain, but it was a demonstration to them that he had authority over demonic forces. He had the authority over personal crisis. He had authority over the natural elements, that he has authority, and he has the authority to take us into the places that will help us grow and stretch us to become more like him. When he says this, quiet, be still, this was a rabbinic binding phrase, right? When rabbis would say this, they would deal with difficult things or demonic activity or evil things. They would say, quiet, be still. And so that would come from be still and know that I'm God. My grandmother, Chevalier, would say to me, I would say, I'm going through some things, Grandma, and I would talk to her, and she would just put her, oh, bless your heart. And that wasn't like a good thing. That was like, you know, you grow up, mature a little bit, right? She would say, bless your heart, be still and know that he's God. And I was like, I don't want to be still, you know? Like, I want to keep moving forward. And she says, sometimes you have to be still. And some of us don't like to be still in our lives. We don't. We don't like to wait. I don't like waiting rooms. I don't like to wait at the lights. I don't like standing in front of the microwave. I don't like to wait, right? But Jesus will say, be still, be calm, wait for us. And that's a kind of a practical step that it's called to help us realize. Listen, in this passage, we see two realities in this scene. Demonic forces are trying to hinder the mission of God. They're trying to hinder the mission of God then, and in our lives today, that's what it's trying to do. But here's the thing. Jesus' willingness to stand against these demonic oppositions and his authority he has will override that. And so we should not give in to that. We should not let them have more authority in our lives than they deserve or have rent space in our heads. We should give that away and say, God, help me to have faith in you. Help me to be willing to go where you call me to go. All right. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Here we go. And so they arrived to the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. Not creepy at all, right? Verse 3, this man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. And so at one point he had a normal life and somehow he encountered these spirits. And so people tried to help him, and that didn't work. And so they tried to pray over him, and that didn't work. And so they made these provision that they tried to bind him with these chains. And he had to go to this other place and be bound with chains. So the chains couldn't hold him. Verse 4, whenever he was put into the chains and shackles, he was, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. That's a strong guy. No one was able strong enough to subdue him. And day and night he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Again, creepy, I recognize that. But here we see that Jesus is willing to leave this place of commerce, familiarity, synagogues, where his friends were, to go to the places of people that were difficult and dark, right? People that were dealing with dark things in their life, right? That they were dealing with those dark issues and spiritual darkness is what I'm trying to say. Jesus was willing to go to them to deal with that. So he went to the other side of the lake. He put him and his disciples. This is what I find very fascinating about this story. He put him and the disciples at great risk by going to a place where others wouldn't go. He was willing to do that, to drive home a point, to teach them of who he was and what he could do, all to help a person most people wouldn't care about. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus was willing to take them and to put them in a situation that we would consider dangerous. And so he saw this man, and he saw this man that needed help. And so it's not like society didn't try to address this issue, because they did. They tried to help this man. They tried to shackle him and strain him. And there was this attempt to subdue them, but he couldn't. And so they were afraid of him naturally, right? So nothing seemed to work. But here's the thing I love. But when the world says it is hopeless, when the world kind of puts things in our life and kind of paints us with this label that it's hopeless, Jesus says, let me get involved. Watch what I can do. Watch what I can do. Watch how I can change a heart. Watch how I can give freedom and victory over the things in your life. And so when the world says it's hopeless, Jesus says, let me get involved and I will give you hope. Mark chapter 5, verse 6 through 20 says this. When Jesus was still with them a distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? This man, possessed by demons, ran to Jesus and recognized him and saw Jesus for who he was. Did you hear that description? He called him Jesus, Son of the Most High God. And then in other stories that we looked at, the Pharisees and Sadducees did not see Jesus that way, right? And so his response is absolutely amazing to me. In the name of God, I beg you, he's saying this to Jesus, in the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them out to some distant place. So even this demon-possessed man, the spirits within him, recognize the power and the authority that Jesus has. And when Jesus is standing right in our face, we don't even recognize it, do we? We deny it. We act like it's not there. Verse 11, there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. And in this place where this happened, it's a high hillside. There's a high, like cliff thing almost. In verse 12, send us into the pigs, the spirit begged. Let us enter them. And so Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and their entire herd of about 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of bacon, plunged down the steep side of the hill into the lake and drowned in the water. And the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. Verse 15, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, and he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. Do you hear that? Perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. They saw him one way. He acted like this way for many years. Now all of a sudden, there's a remarkable difference. There was a, no pun intended, there's a difference in this man. There's a difference in this man that they were like, wow. They were amazed at what was happening. Verse 16, then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Okay, so now they're pigs. Livestock, that was the means of money. Those pigs are now gone. The man is healed, right? But he says, go away. But Jesus said, no, go to your family. Listen to this, verse 19. This is an important one. Verse 19, Jesus said to him, no, go home to your family and tell them everything that the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. He's talking about their story and what they witnessed and what they experienced. He's saying, go and tell. And so the man started off to visit the 10 towns, or called the Decapolis, of that region, and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. I love that. He experienced Jesus in mighty ways. He was changed. He was remarkably changed and impacted by what was done. He was set free. The end result of Jesus getting involved is the torment and the oppression of evil in our lives. When he does that, those are the things that happen. And so, again, that quote, a man with an experience of God is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And so if you and I have this experience with God, if we truly experience God and he's entered our lives, we need to tell people about it. We need to let our lives speak, that we shouldn't walk around. Again, I've said this before. If we're walking around with a bitter face and we're walking around like there's no remarkable difference in our lives, what is that saying to a world? The world should be able to see in you a difference. If Jesus has set you free from different things in your life and given you freedom, you should be able and want to share that. There should be a joy that comes out of you. That should just come out of you. And so listen, friends, I'm telling you this, is that we need to share that. Whatever experience God has placed in your life, whatever he's healed you from, whatever he's, you know, enlightened your mind to, tell people about that. Tell them what the Lord has done. It's time. People need to hear the church speak up and stand up and speak of what the good news of gospel is really about. And that's to set the captives free. That's what the good news is about. It's about setting the captives free. We have an event coming up, an experience. It's called Victory and Freedom. You've heard it. I've been there. Many of you have been there. I encourage you to go. Victory and Freedom is coming up. There is an opportunity for you to go and deal with some things that these hurts and these rooted things and these schemes in your life, and to give them over to God. And so I encourage you, go to our website and look at those Victory and Freedom opportunities for you. But here's a challenge. Just three practical things I want to give you as I wrap up here. Three practical things. Number one is this, is that we need to go where Jesus goes. So if Jesus goes, we need to go too. We need to go and follow him. Stepping toward the hurting, stepping toward those that have pain and suffering, not away from them. So that's a practical thing that we can do. Go where Jesus goes. What do? As you leave here, say, God, where do you want me to go? Begin to pray. Step out of your comfort zone. Say this prayer. Lord, show me one person on the other side. Show me one person on the other side you want me to reach with my life. The second one is this, is that we need to do this. We need to trust Jesus in the storms of our lives. We need to trust him in the storms of our lives to have faith over fear. And that's difficult. I understand that. But that's what we're called to do, is to have faith over fear. Let Jesus begin to say this. What is this thing that I'm facing, Lord? And give me your strength. I trust you. I trust you, and I need you to speak peace into my life. Just saying those prayers when you're in the midst of the storm, not giving into fear, but really seeking God in the midst of your storm and asking for the peace of Christ to rule your hearts and your minds. And then the third thing is this, is that we need to tell our stories. Just simply tell your story. Write it down, share it, text it out, share your story, what Jesus has done in your life. Some of you have amazing testimonies. Some of you need to share what God has done and rescued you from and how he's given you freedom. Tell someone that you know how Jesus has changed your life for the good. Share that good news. Share how he has set you free and the good news that really is a hope in relationship in Jesus Christ. Let them see that the transformation that is in your heart and in your mind is undeniable of the evidence of God's power. Amen. I invite you to stand right now. We're gonna pray and close. And I just want to invite you, as your just heads bowed and eyes closed, as Aaron plays, I just want you to just kind of examine your life right now. Like, if you're on a lake right now, where are you in the midst of a storm? Are you in the midst of a calm, flat sea, lake, whatever? And where's Jesus? Is he in your boat with you? Is he right beside you? Or is he not there? And so my hope and prayer is this, is that when we are going to say some prayers here, that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're the forgiver of your past and leader in your future, this is a time to do that. And say, I want to know this Jesus who has the power over the forces of nature, spiritual forces, demons, and even my own stuff that I struggle with. If you want to know Jesus for the first time, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Raise it real high. Now is the time to do that. Amen. And for those of you that didn't raise your hand, listen, now is the time to recommit today and not to leave this place without doing with business with God, because we all face storms. We all have a story to tell. We're all often hesitant to go toward those that are hurting and need to know. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now, Lord, that we would not hold back, that we would go where you go, we would step out towards that are hurting and need to hear the good news. Father, I pray that we would trust you in the midst of whatever storm we're facing right now. Lord, that we would walk in faith, that we be women and men of faith and not in fear. And so, Father, help us to trust you in all that we do. Help your peace of Christ to fall on our hearts and our minds. And Father, help us. Help us not to be afraid to share our story, to tell of the good news of all that you've done in our lives, because that's what you call us to do. Because you died for us, we will live for you. And so, Father, I pray a blessing upon everybody here today, and all of God's people said,